And then you have, through repetition, have them form the habit of believing the myth.
We've been trained to think about Europeans as our gods. So we're at war with who? We're at war with God? Because we still, many of us, believe in the white image of Jesus, and that's his son. We know that his father must also be white. So are you trying to tell me we're at war with that?
The thing about being conscious and truthful is you got to be tough. You got to be ready to get violent, because people are always going to try to take advantage of you, because if you're winning, they're losing. And those guys cheat, and you don't. So you got to be, they got to know not to play with you. They got to know, you can't really think that you're just going to have an opinion without some muscle.
We've also had the mindset of resistance. Even in Los Angeles here, a lot of gangs got started because they were combating the white supremacist groups that were targeting black people in certain neighborhoods. So street gangs were created to really battle them at first.
In the 60s, they banned martial artists. They had registration of people's hands and feet because it was something they didn't quite understand. And plus, when people came from the armed forces and started using karate, it was dangerous at that time.
In neighborhoods that are of a more upscale, financially affluent society, white, Jewish, etc., they are infused with fertility clinics. While in our societies, the ones that do not have that elevated level of economics, black and brown, impoverished communities, have abortion clinics.
The first revolution, Gil Scott Heron tells us, is the revolution in the mind.
Afternoon, Jim. Simon Casting on 98.5 and 103.7 to be our next guest. In 2011, he introduced the world with Hidden Colors. In 2012, he came with Hidden Colors 2, The Triumph of Melanin. In 2013, he produced the movie Dark Medicine. In 2014, he produced the movie The Sweet Blood of Jesus.
Woo!
In 2014, he brought us Hidden Color 3, The Rules of Racism. In 2015, he produced the documentary International Racism. In 2015, he also produced the documentary Wilmington on Fire. In 2016, he brought us Hidden Colors 4, The Religion of White Supremacy. In 2017, he brought us the groundbreaking documentary of Haiti, 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti.
That's
and
right.
Coming up in 2019, he's coming up next month, Hidden Colors 5. I want to welcome to the conversation my good friend, Tariq Nasheed. Welcome to the show, good brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, family. It's such a pleasure you guys having me back on.
Man, it's always an honor, man. You having time. I'm looking at this resume.
Yo,
you dropping every 6-8 months, man.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
Busy.
Wow. So is number 5 the finale for real, man?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think I'm going to put a period on the series, man. We've been doing the series for almost a decade, and wow. You know, I want to venture and do other films. I want to do other films like I did 1804. I really liked my last film, 1804. It was different. It was very fun to do. We had a great time doing it. I was traveling back and forth to Haiti. So we've talked about so many things within the Hidden Colors series. I can branch out and really focus on individual topics within the series without doing the whole series over and over again. So for now, this is going to be the finale of Hidden Colors 5. And we had to go out with a bang. We got some real heavyweights in this one. We brought Shahrazad Ali back. She's in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that sister's so phenomenal.
Well, we need her on loudspeaker.
Oh, my God, man. When this sister, and let me tell you something. When we did Hidden Colors 1, I had to censor a lot of the stuff she said, because she goes in, and I know how we are as a people. Sometimes if you go too hard on people in the dominant society, some of us will get very protective. And Shahrazad Ali goes hard. And in the first Hidden Colors, I had to censor a lot of stuff and cut a lot of stuff out that she said. But this one, I wanted to go hard.
You
let
me fly?
To get some real truth. yeah. This one, I ain't cut out. There's nothing cut. I ain't
let
cut nothing
fly.
Out. I'm letting it all fly, man. We going all the way there in this one.
Beautiful.
And, you know, we're going to make it a big bang on this one.
Wow. Who else you got? Who else you got in number 5?
Oh, yeah. We got Brother RZA Islam, a phenomenal brother who does a lot of good work out here in L.A. We brought Brother Kaba back. We got a brother, Brother Jabari out of New York. Very brilliant scholar. We got so many great people, man. We got my man David Banner. I brought him back.
All right.
We're talking about martial arts and fighting, so I got my man Michael Jai White.
Oh, wow, nice. Got him in there. All right.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, we going there. We got some good folks in this one.
Wow. How do you feel about this in comparison to the other documentaries that you have produced?
This one, this is going to be the most raw of all the films. I can guarantee you that. In this one, some of the language is more raw. I have to warn people. In the other ones, everything has been pretty much PG-13. This one, the language is a little more raw. I wanted to go a little harder in this one because this is the grand finale. But the theme in this one is warfare. And we got to understand as black people what warfare is. Warfare is just not militaristic. Warfare is combativeness and warfare that's being waged on you all the time. We have to understand that we have educational warfare. War is being waged on us on a medical level. In every city that I've been in America, there's a black neighborhood or there's a black part of town where black people know not to go to certain hospitals. There's always a hospital somewhere in a black area that black people know not to go to. Out here in L.A., it's Killer King Hospital, King Drew Medical Center. So we all know about these hospitals that have reputations of doing things to black people. So we talk about warfare from that perspective. We talk about warfare from the perspective of vaccines. We talk about that and some of the dangers that goes with that. We talk about warfare as far as the propaganda, the things that we look at, the things that we see on television, the things that we normally see in movies, that's a form of propaganda. So we getting deep with this thing.
Wow. Tariq Nasheed is on the phone line. Of course, if you got a question for Tariq Nasheed, 407-369-8555, that's the telephone number to call in, ask him a question. Now, on the last documentary, you touched on something at the end of the religion of white supremacy, and I just want to commend you. You brought it home on the roots of this molestation and incest thing, that hidden conversation that black folks don't want to talk about. How did you feel about that, man, putting it together?
That was heavy, man. Brother Anthony Browder and those folks and Patricia Newton, they were well-versed in that, and that was something that we don't like to talk about. That a lot of this stuff has stemmed from slavery. And also in Hidden Colors 5, we go deeper in that, talking about the origins of it from the dominant society. This stuff has been going on with them for centuries, and it was something that was really introduced to us. And I always say this, black American society, we're the only society that doesn't have open systematic pedophilia, meaning you can't go anywhere to black Americans and go buy children. We don't have that. Now, you have that in different cultures, but we're one of the few cultures on the planet that don't have that. So they've been trying to push that agenda with us. This is why they are pushing a lot of LGBT stuff to children within black society. And we talk about that. That's a very heavy thing.
Right. Wow. 407-369-8555. I'm going over to, go over to you, Goddess. I know you had a bunch of questions to ask. I'm going to let you go ahead and get a couple of them off your chest.
I do have some questions, but they're not really formulated how I want them to come out. So
that's X. This is our brother. It's a conversation. You know, he can handle them.
I hope he could.
Yeah, he can handle.
He's creating documentaries and talking to people all the time. I'm pretty sure he's well versed and can handle them. But I'm not ready yet.
You're not ready yet.
I'm still listening.
You're not starstruck, are you?
Absolutely not. I follow Tariq. I know some people that know Tariq, so okay. I haven't met him yet personally, but...
Yeah. All right, Tahir.
I got a question, bro.
Man,
are you working on these docs simultaneously? Like, you working on a few of them at the same time? Because, man, you're dropping phenomenal content, and it seems like it's so focused that it's like, okay, these babies had to be born one at a time. But it's so many that I'm like, are you working two and three at the same time?
Well, some of them I produce and direct myself and then do all the editing and stuff for. Some of them I just produce. Some of them I executive produce. And there are other people that direct them. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
So, yeah. So with the ones that I direct, and that I edit and produce, those take a little time. Like when I do a documentary, it usually takes a year to do the whole documentary. And these things wear you out. I ain't gonna even lie because Just imagine doing a book report every single night. Because when we do these documentaries, we got to have dot the I's and cross the T's, and we got to have all the research together, and then we got to get all the B-roll footage. It's very difficult doing documentaries. I like 1804 because we had a lot of reenactment scenes, and that was quicker to do, and it was more fun to do. But it's very tedious to do these films, and if you notice in the Hidden Colors film, we use a lot of images. We use a lot of paintings and old documents and old newspaper footage. So we have to do a lot of research. I have to have a whole research team dig and find, and then we got to call libraries, and then we got to call museums, and then we got to get permission. So it's a whole thing, but it's worth it. It's worth it. That's just part of the game. So
and then,
I'm not complaining.
And you do all of that, and then you drop a song with a video. Are we gonna get that album, man? Are we gonna finally get that? Like, what are we waiting on, Tariq?
I know, but you know, that's the thing. I have to do music sometimes just to switch my mind, to get my mind balanced, because doing this stuff, man, doing this work with this history stuff, it's real draining. It's a heavy thing when you look at this history and see all of this stuff that's been hidden from us. It's a very draining thing, and our history is hidden. They deliberately hide our stuff.
Right. Tariq, are you learning at the same time, or is all this stuff you already knew?
Absolutely, I learn, man. I learn stuff every single day, man. Our history is so vast. I learn stuff, man. You know, some stuff that I really learned this week up in Atlanta, up in that area in Georgia. There's a lake up there that a lot of people have been dying at. There's a lake called Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
And I talked about this on my broadcast. Have y'all heard about Lake Lanier?
No, I know about Lake Lanier, but okay. I didn't know people would die.
Yeah, man. It's like 12 people died on that lake in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And hundreds of people have died at this lake. And there's a rumor that the lake was cursed. So I did some research about this lake. I'm like, what the hell is going on with this lake? Find out that the lake was a man-made lake that was created in the 1950s, and basically they created the lake over a black town where they killed a lot of people in the early 1900s, lynched a lot of people, and ran them out of their property. So there's burial grounds there of all of these black people, so they flooded, and now it's a recreational beach area, and people are just dying left and right. So put that water on top of those spirits, and those spirits are activating. So these are things in history that we need to know, and I've just learned this week.
Wow. You know, now I got to go do some research.
Hey, man. Hey, that sounds like a nonfiction horror movie that can
real
can
talk.
It's real.
Real talk.
We're going to the phone line. Caller, you're live with Tariq Nasheed. You got a question or comment for Tariq Nasheed?
Peace and blessings, family. Always good to hear you brothers down there in Pine Hills doing y'all thing. And thanks for bringing on the show.
Thank you.
And opening up the platform to the public. Thank you all for that, first of all.
Mickey Wallace on the phone line from 103.7 to beat up in Muskegon, Michigan.
Oh, okay,
go ahead, Mickey,
okay.
Man. Do your thing. What's your question?
Off in the house.
Indeed. Tariq, man, I got to ask. And well, first of all, accolade, man, because I ordered the entire box set, man, off the website. Shipping was a breeze. Payment was a beef, was a breeze. Whenever we dealing with us, people come in with a misconception there's going to be some kind of funky business. Everything was professional. I recommend everybody go buy the entire box set of Hidden Colors, including 1804, first of all. So shout out to you and Mr. Staff for making that available to us, man.
Much respect.
So, Doug, my question, man, is with the expungement, the extermination, the assassination, and yeah, I'm going to put him in that category, the late Nipsey Hussle, man. What are we looking at? What should we be doing in your professional opinion? Because you crossed these lines. You've rubbed these people the wrong way, and you're still alive, brother. We want to make sure you stay alive. But what's our next step as people that you see from behind the scenes, you know, being able to look behind that veil?
Man, good question.
With a professional good question. I'm sorry, too.
Yeah, and with Nipsey was my dude. Nipsey was a friend of mine, and I've always said from day one that murder of our brother is not what it seemed like on the surface. Last week, the LA Times, they came out with a report saying that our brother Nipsey was being investigated by police when he was murdered.
Ready?
This is I already knew that was the case. Out here in L.A., they're gentrifying a lot of areas, especially that area down in South L.A. There's a new football stadium being built down there. So there's a lot of money that's about to come into South Central L.A. They've been gentrifying and pricing the black people out of here. Nipsey was one of the few people who had the capital to invest in a commercial property in a prime area. The area he's in is a very good area. It's a very prime area, and the real estate is about to boom in that area. It's about to just quadruple. They've been trying to get Nipsey and his brother out of that spot for the longest. They were shaking him down, harassing him and other people. They've been doing this for years. And these are people who are some of the top brass out here in L.A. And the fact that they couldn't do it and the fact that he bought the whole strip mall, that was a problem. So all of a sudden, some random quote-unquote hater comes and shoots him in broad daylight. And now all these people surrounding this killer is getting all types of immunity deals. So that stinks to high heaven, and none of us believe that it's what it is on the surface.
Wow. Whoa. Thanks. Man, that good question, man. Great question, Mickey. Anything else you want to ask Tariq?
No, man, I'm going to let the other callers. I know that line got to be blowing up, man. I'm going to let the other callers get on. I just want to say thank you, man. Whatever you come out with next, we're going to be tuned in. And, you know, keep doing your thing. You know, keep threatening. Keep making yourself a threat, man, and keep educating the people. We appreciate the life stake that you're putting on the line. You got family, you got friends, and we know it costs you something to do this outside of you, man. So, you know, thank you so much for putting life and limb on the line to keep us woke and to wake us up. We appreciate you, man, for real.
I respect that, man. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, 407-369-8555 on the phone line. Tariq Nasheed is on the phone line. Now, Tariq, speaking on that, do you get these type of threats, man?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, last year around this time, you know, my house was raided. You know, there was a bunch of some white supremacist groups called in a fake bomb threat in my neighborhood, and I think it was orchestrated by the LAPD. And they came into my crib on live television. They had helicopters, and they raided my house. And, yeah, the clip is on it. It's out there. So that was a threat. That was a way for them to kind of put me in check, to kind of shut me up. And, you know, it's not – that doesn't scare me, man. I'm going to speak this truth until I cannot speak anymore, man, because, look, if we don't speak it, people are still going to threaten us and target us anyway.
Exactly.
We're getting taken out by these people anyway, so I might as well tell the truth if I'm going to get taken out.
Wow. Now, if you know, this is going to be the finale, Hidden Colors 5. What do you see happening after that, though? Would it be more specific documentaries like the 1804?
Yes. As a matter of fact, next month I'm going to start on a new documentary that I've been planning for a few months. It's called Buck Breaking. And we're going to talk about how.
go in, G. Oh, man. Yes. You go yes. in.
Yes. I don't want to be in this yes. one. I don't want to make that yes. list.
This thing is going to be, it's going to talk about how black masculinity has always been targeted. And that goes back to the plantation days. And it's still being targeted. Black masculinity has always been seen as a threat. So we're going to go real deep into that bug-breaking thing.
Wow. Now, you've been in Hollywood for a while. Have you been approached by, you know, some of the producers there, some of the movie companies there to do a movie but put some stipulations on it?
You know, what's interesting, when I did my books, now, I started out writing relationship books.
Okay.
I wrote dating books and relationship books, and my books ushered in that whole pickup artist movement that happened in the mid-2000s. So I had a lot of television deals and television shows. I did a whole bunch of television stuff back then. We were trying to work out some film deals, but some of the deals were just didn't fall through. Now, when I started doing the Hidden Colors thing, I had a whole bunch of television pilots that were on the line. But I chose to do the Hidden Colors thing because I thought that was more important. And I was being told by many people in Hollywood, don't do a film like Hidden Colors. It would be too offensive, would rub people the wrong way. So I just went on and took that gamble. I thought us learning our history and us talking about our history was way more important than those dating shows that I was going to do. Because at the time, remember, I started doing Hidden Colors at around 2010. And at that time, we had movies like Precious, The Help, The Butler. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're going out of their way to show us in these subservient, demeaning roles, so we have to have something to offset that, and that's why I came up with the Hidden Colors series.
Wow. How many screens do you think this is going to be in, the Hidden Colors 5?
We got, I think, 30 screens out here in the United States.
Wow.
And,
wow, that's
yeah,
good.
The L.A. Nice. Screening is sold out. The Atlanta one is sold out. Dallas is sold out. So a lot of them are already sold out. first weekend of the release of Hidden Colors 5, I'm going to be over there in the UK. There's a big premiere out there, so I'm going to fly out there. People from all over Europe are coming down. So this thing is an international phenomenon, man. This thing, Hidden Colors 5, is real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to buy it, we're going to be able to buy it online after it premieres or what?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, people can go to the website now and pre-order at hiddencolorsfilm.com. The DVD release will be on August 12th, but if people pre-order now, you will get it sent out early. You'll get the early bird DVD shipment, so it will get there a little bit before or at the 12th of August.
Wow. Now, you also do a radio show. You do a video show. Is it daily or weekly?
I do it every few days. Usually we do Wednesday and Sunday. And also I do something called Ism Radio with my two co-hosts, Bree and Layla Lopez. And we're going to start doing that again next Tuesday. So I do 3 or 4 shows a week.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, going around the round table. Ty here.
Hey, man, I'm glad to hear that Hidden Colors 5 is not Tariq Nasheed's Black album.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
I'm glad to hear that you're still rocking that, you know, not putting this under pressure. Like, this is it. Like, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
And, yeah man, keep rocking. We got your back, you know, and, yeah, I love it. Keep going, man. My children love it. Family love it. We got you down here in the O.
Hey, Tariq, have you started mentoring any, you know, the next generation to take over, like somebody that's younger that you know, trying to groom to be the next Tariq Nasheed? Because I know it pretty soon you're going to get tired.
Yeah, and I'm always looking for people to work with. You know, I always bring in new people to work with me on the films. I always bring in new technical people. And that's why I want to get into branching off into more narrative documentary type of films like 1804, because then we can bring in a lot of young Black actors and stunt people. Like 1804, we hired a whole bunch of Black people and brought them into the game. So I want to do more projects like that and more scripted films as well.
Absinia Rose.
Hey, I hear that you have a band. What's the name of your band?
The group is called Mink Slide.
Mink Slide. That's a very interesting name. I have another question.
Go ahead.
Watching some of your documentaries and talking about our history, really, how do you feel about individuals that say talking about slavery and bringing up negative things that happen in our history keeps us from growing spiritually? It hinders us from loving fully and crossing, I guess you could say, race or color lines. And there's individuals who have a different perspective, saying that loving myself or educating, you know, myself about my history does not mean that I hate another. So I want to get your perspective on that.
Right. You know what? And what we do in the films, we just don't focus on slavery, and that's one of the reasons why we did Hidden Colors, is because whenever we talk about Black history, we automatically think of slavery. Our history goes way beyond slavery. Mm-hmm. Even here in America, our history goes beyond slavery. And I tell people all the time, our history in America didn't start in 1619 in Jamestown. Black Americans, we've been in America, settled in this country, since 1526 on paper. There were the Spanish who came over and tried to enslave Black people. Black people fought them back and sent them back to Spain, and Black people were the first settlements here. So, along with the Native Americans, the first foreign settlements. So we've been here for a long time. And even going before that, before the Spanish, we had the people like the Olmecs down in South America. You have big stone heads of African people down in Mexico and South America. So we've been traveling, and we've been here for thousands of years. We've done things in Europe, the Moors. We talk about something that most people didn't even know about before Hidden Colors, that there were African people in Spain and in Italy civilizing and bringing civilization, mathematics, and sciences up into Europe. They don't like to give us credit for that, but this is why we have to uncover that. So our history goes way beyond slavery.
Tariq, when we go back to 2010, when I think it was 2010 when you did your first documentary, when you fast forward to now, do you think, because of your work, you have changed the conversations in a lot of areas, that you kind of like open up the eyes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This film has definitely changed the lexicon of our conversation. The whole woke movement, people credit that with the Hidden Colors series. and a lot of people that's been in the media fighting against systematic oppression, I know for a fact that they've been influenced by the films. So these films are being taught in universities. These films are taught in schools all around the world. These films are shown in churches all over the world. So it has definitely made an impact. And this is why many of us are standing up to systematic oppression with so much force that we're using now.
Wow. A couple more questions. And I know your father had a huge impact in your life. Good, great relationship with your father. But who else influenced you, man?
Yeah, my family, real good family, man. Most of my family were down in Alabama. So, you know, I had a real, real good, solid, down-home Southern folks. You know, my family was a real big influence, a lot of integrity. I learned a lot of respect from them. And, you know, honestly, some of the biggest influence were some of the gangsters out here in L.A. When I moved to L.A. as a teen, I would roll with a lot of the gangsters. And back then, it was interesting that those guys had certain rules and guidelines and certain things that they would abide by. That was very interesting, and I would learn a lot from that. One thing I learned from these guys in the streets out here is to never be afraid of anything. Always be fearless, no matter what. Always stand up for yourself, no matter what. Don't back down from something that you feel is wrong. Stand up for yourself at all costs. So that was a very strong life lesson that I learned. So you can learn lessons from everybody and everything. And this is why it's important to go out and just experience life.
Right, right. And this is not part of the documentary, but I got to ask you about this whole ASAP Rocky thing in Sweden and what led to, you know, what he said back in the day compared to what's going on right now. What is your opinion on this whole perspective, this whole thing?
Yeah, and what my brother is referencing is ASAP Rocky, the rapper. He's over there in, I think it's Sweden right now. He got into some kind of altercation with somebody, and they put him in jail. And a lot of people are not rushing to the rescue of ASAP Rocky because in the past, people have asked him about racial non-justice with black people being attacked. And he has been very dismissive of it. He said, well, I'm not Al Sharpton. I only care about, you know, women and drinking and smoking, and I live in Soho in Beverly Hills, so none of that has anything to do with me. And when you make cake, you're going to have to eat that cake.
There we go.
I don't wish jail on anybody. I don't wish any harm on anybody, but we're not going to prioritize people who do not prioritize us. It's like insurance. You cannot go around not paying your car insurance, and then when you get into an accident, all of a sudden you want somebody to come pay your premium. It doesn't work like that. You're going to have to eat the fact that you out here trying to be on your own and trying to distance yourself from everybody, and when you get caught up in a jam, that's something that you're going to have to handle. You're going to have to eat that. How come you're not calling the people in Beverly Hills?
How come
you're not calling all those people in Soho?
Where's Soho at?
Black folks, exactly. We got to get off this thing where we're the token Negro, and we think that and these people don't care about us. We all we got. So that's the lesson we need to learn from that ASAP situation.
Wow. Tariq Nasheed on the phone line. Hey, man, do you think we ever see a documentary, not from you, maybe somebody on, like, the Elijah Muhammad's, you know, of the world? Like, I've been searching, trying to find a documentary on Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know. Somebody might do something about that.
Yeah, because, you know, the impact he had.
Right.
I don't
absolutely.
Know. My God. Influenced so many people.
Right.
And
absolutely. Elijah Muhammad was phenomenal.
Yes. Well, maybe one day, you get around to it one day. I don't know.
I can't.
Julie, I say something I try to do, but I know I don't have the capabilities to do that, bro.
Indeed.
So it's not something I know I can do. But I know.
But people want me to do documentary about everything. I get people hit me up every day. Hey, man, Tariq, do a documentary about Jimmy Walker from Good Times.
There you go, Jimmy Walker, JJ.
They want me to do a documentary about everything.
I can imagine, man. You know what? And it's a testament to your work. Because they know if Tariq does it, it's going to be done right.
Absolutely.
Yes,
yeah. All right, brother.
Yes,
you gave us 30 minutes of your time, man. And I really appreciate that. And I know we probably be talking before it dropped. We're going to try to do something here in Orlando. And so you can get 31. Maybe do something in Muskegon. You have 32 screens.
There we go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks, man, for always being reachable.
And
much love. Continue into the work, man. We appreciate you, okay?
Much success.
I appreciate you, brother. And also, hiddencolorsfilm.com. That's the website, hiddencolorsfilm.com.
All right. Take care. Peace and bless. Take care.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, family. There you go.
Wow.
Tariq Nasheed.
How about that?
30 minutes. Conversation.
I mean, are y'all getting that anywhere else?
I just got to ask that question. Any of these other radio stations or TV stations out here in Orlando giving you that right there with Tariq Nasheed, give you a chance to call up, ask them a question straight up?
Yeah. No commercial break.
There is, that answer is no. You got to come to 98.5 The Wire for that, and we give thanks that you guys are riding with us and listening in.
Going back to my music. It's afternoon jam.